Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back to Mission Accepted Podcast Show. We are super excited today. You know what? We're super excited every day. You're like, Deb, you're always excited. But I hear that often. And if you had my job, you would be excited too. Entrepreneur off the air, entrepreneur on the air. If this is your first time landing on Mission Accepted Podcast Show, thank you and welcome. And please hit the subscribe button because you're not only going to be inspired today, but you will be continued to be inspired. Look, here's what our show is about. You may never even have heard the word entrepreneur or ultrapreneur before. Entrepreneurs are converting into ultrapreneurs, those people that have a plethora of things going on. That is the world of which we are expanding into. And then creatives, those amazing singers, actors, directors, artists that really truly as well take on the mission, right? And then media, podcast hosts, the radio hosts, TV hosts, people that are in media that are also making the wear, all those incredible freelancers out there that people go, oh, they have a media job. No, they had to get up. They had to make that decision. We don't know why or how people make their decisions. It could be that your back's against the wall and you had no choice because financially you had to make something happen very, very quickly. Or you had been working at a job that for a long time that just wasn't fulfilling you. And one day the straw broke and or your best friend or your partner sucked you in, talked you into it, told you you were going to have the life of your dreams. And you are now in amongst the mission going, what the heck did I do this for? If any of those apply to you, guess what? It's applying to a lot of people, including a whole new generation that's coming in to this world of entrepreneurship. And that is that Gen Z generation. And we do a weekly show for you guys as well. So the beautiful thing is, I think like no other is a time where all of these generations, all these different levels of experiences are coming together. And we need each other. Look, you know, I know that some of you are listening and not viewing. I'm just going to say I'm not 20, okay? And my 18-year-old is starting his first company. There's things that he can teach me about, you know, social media or hashtags or, you know, whatever, biohacking that I never knew before. And I teach him how to speak. I teach him how to shake someone's hand, and that shaking your hand is and should be considered a higher regard than signing a contract and all of those kind of things and everything in between. I'm very excited because when we talk about multi-generational and we talk about expanding and we talk about seeing the course of entrepreneurship in its true form, we have an incredible guest today, and her name is Maria. I'm going to let her talk a little bit about herself in relationship to how she kind of got into this industry, but recently chatting and knowing, I've known this woman for a very long time. I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years, and I actually used to advertise and do things with her company when it was a different name. And we're going to talk a little bit about rebranding and reestablishing yourself. So this is Maria Locker of Revolution Her. She has a large women's based organization. So she has seen entrepreneurship from every level, from startup to all the way making your way up. And obviously you've done that yourself. I mean, not just a month ago, I was tapped into Maria's organization and she had Dolly Parton on. So that doesn't happen usually in your first week of building your business. So Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Deb. Oh my goodness. I'm just going to put that on repeat all the time. And every time I need a little pick me up in the morning, I'm going to play your voice. That was awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Icons are icons. You got to call it as you call it. And we were just talking about that, right? How people as entrepreneurs need to step out of the comfort zone. Now, here's something really interesting. So I had been doing business with Maria's company way back when my daughter, who was 15, launched a company called Baby Ocean Wear, named after her little brother, who was 3 or 4. So she got into fashion. Ironically, my 18-year-old right now is launching a fashion company. And so it's like, and completely different, but obviously I've been following you and watching everything that you do. And then, you know, as people grow, we're like, you know, my daughter stopped with that company and I kind of went on, and then I reconnected with someone at a trade show a few years ago now, obviously, when we were doing live events. And she was like, we were talking and I'm like, why does this look familiar? And that's when I learned about your rebrand. And she goes, oh, you should apply for this award, or we've got these awards. You'd be perfect to, you know, you should get someone to nominate you. And I'm like, okay, sure. And I, even then, with all my years of experience, there was a little sense of uncomfortableness, like, oh, I don't know, like an award, I don't know. And then I got reconnected and I was like, oh my word, this is Maria's company.
It's still me. I'm still here.
It's still here and still you. Right. And we're talking about these. So you have some awards and they're annual. So whenever you're listening to this podcast, you can jump off the cliff and get a little brave a bit. Tell us about the awards that you've got and a little bit about what your company's doing.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start, because really the awards are the best part of what we do. It kind of brings together everything that our company stands for. So, Revolution Her is the company we're talking about. And every year we put on our Revolution Her Awards. And the purpose is really to give a platform to women's voices, to amplify women's voices. We've introduced a youth award as well. And for us, it's really about, you know, shining a light on the work that women are doing, whether it's entrepreneurship, leadership, community work, volunteer, you know, youth that are leading the charge, like you mentioned, Gen Z. There is so much good being done. You know, when you turn on the news, sometimes all you see is the negative, but there is so much good out there. And so with Revolution Her, we really wanted to have a platform that would not only inspire women because of the stories they're hearing and the other women that they're being able to connect with. We wanted to help empower them to live whatever version of their life they've always dreamed they would. And a lot of times, you know, we get caught up as women. And I think, you know, obviously you have a lot of different people that listen to your podcast, but we specifically work with women to really help kind of bring to light maybe what they need in their life or what they're neglecting in their life, to really kind of shine a light on the things that can be positive. So that's what we do. And way back when we would have connected a long time ago, that would have been through Mompreneurs. And originally this journey started as Mompreneurs, really focused on moms in business. And it's just evolved from there.
Wow. So now you obviously had your own journey. You've been on this journey for 12 years. Mm-hmm. You are, and I love this. So you had a family that had entrepreneurial spirit. And maybe I was loving the story that you're sharing about your dad. So talk a little bit about that. Let's plug the family. Hey,
Well, it starts small, right? It always does. You have a path when you're younger. So that was mine.
That was yours. So talk a little bit about that. But then you ended up being an elementary or a kindergarten school teacher.
Yeah.
So you're standing there with these 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds going, oh, look at the beauty in their eyes. And what made you decide, I'm going to start a magazine?
Nothing ever really dawned on me. Like if I would have known way back then that this is where I would be, you know, interviewing Dolly Parton, producing a print magazine, that's not what. It's all just kind of evolved over time, but it started really, I mean, I'm one of 4 children. My parents, my dad specifically immigrated from Italy and decided to open up a bakery. And for me, I grew up in the world of entrepreneurship. The bus would not take me home after school. It would take me to the bakery and I would do my homework on top of flour sacks. And I just learned that business can actually be an integral part of your life, your family life. So growing up, that was always part of me. And then I hit university and, you know, kind of changed paths a little bit, met a boy, you know, talked about serious things and realized, yeah, the two things I always wanted to be were a mom and a teacher. Ever since 5 years old, met my favorite teacher, Mrs. Whaley. And that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be her. And, it reminded me when we started talking about serious things that, yes, this is the path I had originally wanted. So I became a teacher, was teaching kindergarten, loved it. And as usually happens for me. We decided we wanted to raise a family. I had two kids pretty much back to back. I was one of those crazy people, 18 months apart. Like, it was chaos. And I looked around and said, really, I am not at a place where I can go and be with 30 other kids and not my own too. It wasn't for me. And thankfully my husband, you know, we were on the same page. So I stayed home. I had 2 years where I just was full-time mom and I was doing some freelance work on the side. I opened up the Facebook page for my parents. Like, you know, we were a mom and pop store that slowly evolved over time too. And for me, it ended up being one of those things where my daughter's about to come in, where it just all of a sudden I started meeting all these other women. I'd go to the park. I would go to the grocery store. All these other women I would meet with little kids were also entrepreneurs. And I was like, this is weird. We really should be getting together more. Why aren't we supporting one another? Like, let's do this. We shouldn't be shy about this. And really it just evolved over time. You know, it was really about finding a group of women who could support one another, because we really didn't fit the mold of traditional business. I couldn't go to a chamber meeting at 7:30 a.m. in the morning. I had to be with my kids, right? So now there's so many options for women. I find, you know, over the last 12 years, it's changed a lot. And I'm so thankful for that. In 2019, we decided, okay, we need to now talk to women as women. Doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur. It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. It doesn't matter if you're a mom. It doesn't actually matter if, you know, you don't identify as a woman. We want to talk to a group that understands what it's like to be in each other's shoes, whatever that might mean. And that's really where Revolution Her came from. It came from shifting the dialogue to, this is how I do everything in my life for everybody else, to, this is what I need to do in my life for me. And that's where we are now.
So did you come to that conclusion? Like, there's a lot of people, like, for example, I just changed the name of the podcast show. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to someone yesterday and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, so where's all your other shows? I'm like, deleted. New time, new era, right? New time, new era. So there's a lot of people out there that are attached to kind of maybe their old logo or their old way of thinking that business is done. Or, I mean, it's been an evolution for everybody the last 2.5-3 years, having to, whatever your pivot was, whether it was an accelerated pivot, whether it was a complete repivot. And so, as you know, when you change something that's working, when you change something that's not, well, there seems to be an understanding for our psyche. So, wow, that marketing plan didn't go. We need to change and go over here. But when you're changing something that's working, what was that process like for you?
It was optimistically terrifying, I think is probably the best way I could say. I knew it had to be done for me. I was at a point where I wasn't challenged anymore. It was more of a challenge to resonate with the word mompreneur than it was to think of new exciting ways to bring women in. I felt like, you know, what we started with started to evolve in a way where, even though we weren't by any means excluding anyone, it sometimes felt exclusionary for people. And that's not what I wanted at all. And that's not who I am. And I think it's just, you know, the way life evolved, you know, the conversations we were having as a society, things are changing. They're continue to changing every day. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was scary, you know, and the logo, we've done a lot of work around the word, a lot of protection. We own the trademark for Mompreneur for Canada. And it was terrifying, but I knew it was the right time. And I had one of those download moments, and it's quite a long story, so I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but I had a download when I finally realized what the name needed to be. And I've never actually had one of those moments. I didn't have that moment with mompreneurs, that moment where all of a sudden I saw everything that Revolution Her could be and what it was all going to look like. I had goosebumps. I got teary. I'd never, ever had that experience before in my life. And so I just knew that it was the right time, the right name, the right vision. COVID happened. I didn't see that coming.
What?
I know. We originally were planning to launch the rebrand March 2020. So that was a little bit of a curveball I did not see coming, but we still, I, you know, couple months went by and I was like, I can't, there's no way I can sit on this. I'm a terrible secret keeper. Let me just say that out loud. So I knew I had to launch that. So, May, 2020, that was it. It was, I hope you loved Mompreneurs. Meet Revolution Her. We have a whole new vision, a whole new way of basically this beautiful community that we've built. We're looking to stretch our arms out wider and everyone is welcome.
Wow. Well, and I think that's the truth about when we talk about mission and we accept the mission. And it's like, when we accept the mission to do whatever it is that we want to do, whether it's singing, building a business, becoming an artist, whatever it is that we're doing, that it's solo fueled. That's what I always talk about. Like, you know, an entrepreneur or whatever, it's solo fueled. Where it goes from that point, how many people you bring on your team, all of that kind of stuff. But there's that identification. And I thought, wow, so it is a major process when people let go of something that they've done, you know, or change the name. And then also the concern of that other linear place of, what do you mean you're going to change the name? Are you going to lose numbers? Are people not going to identify? Are they going to be confused? And all of that business stuff that has to be worked out as well. As we shift and grow, right? As we shift and grow, the fear, the excitement of gain, but the fear of loss.
Yes. It was huge. It was huge for us because, you know, we had a very niche market. We really did. But, you know, it just, I don't know how else to explain it really. It was very scary. I will say because COVID happened and because we were still doing events online, we had been doing events since 2015. So we were able to still communicate with our community. And I think for up until maybe a couple months ago, everything you saw coming out from Revolution Her said at the bottom, formerly Mompreneurs, come check out how we have evolved at the bottom, right? Like, I think we just started getting rid of that and it's been almost two years. It'll be two years at the end of this month. So it's very scary, but I think you have to be steadfast in whatever vision you see. Yes. And I trust, I mean, I've kind of followed my gut this whole way and I just trust the little voice that tells me this is the direction we're going. It's hard to do sometimes. I ignored it for probably 3 years. I was ready probably 2017. I got really sick. I did two back-to-back cancer rounds and that's when it first was like, this is probably something I need to do. And I just ignored it. 'Cause it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So I'm glad now though. I mean, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations. And let's talk a little bit about the courage that it takes to be entrepreneur. You see women in all stages, right? And I'm sure there's as many smiles as there are tears in this process of life. Never mind, but we add an additional piece on. That really, I always say, it's kind of like, well, when we were talking about I created a planner. It would have been unfair for me to create a planner for entrepreneurs if it didn't include personal development, because we need to be our own best friends so much of the time. You know, when I'm talking to entrepreneurs, it's like, so what was the thing that you were the most proud of yourself last week? And they're like, what? I don't know.
Think about that. Like,
last week? I'm thinking this week, I'm thinking that, but it's not often we stop until we're told to stop or we have someone else affirm what it is we're doing. There's these amazing creative people out there doing all of these aspiring things and, you know, the whole stop until, you know, smell the roses kind of stuff. As an entrepreneur, that's not necessarily how we think. We're in motion and we're like, oh my God, that was so awesome. Okay. Now I'm this.
Move on.
So from someone who's seen all of the stages for so many people, I don't want to say, hey, what's your number one piece of advice? But what's something consistently that you see that you think entrepreneurs really should know or take into consideration?
I think it's just that grace period. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are just really hard on themselves. A lot of the women that I've seen over the years, for sure, they are coming up with ideas. They're multitasking. They're taking care of the house, the home, the kids, the, you know, everything. And yet they're still really hard on themselves and guilt still finds its way in somehow. And I'm guilty of it too. By no means am I, you know, it's something that I consistently try to work on. But it's that grace. It's being able to kind of stand back and say, okay, I wrote a really long to-do list today. and I got 5 things done instead of 10. Those 5 things could have been massive things to, you know, help move you or your business or whatever it is you're focusing on forward. So, you know, grace has really been, and it's funny because my business partner is Grace. That's her name. But, you know, just this idea of grace and giving yourself room for permission to grow, permission mm-hmm. to rest, permission, you know, to go for mm-hmm. a walk. Those are things that, you know, you're the only one that can do that. And we get into this almost like a hamster wheel where we'll just keep going and going and going until, like for me, I kept going and going and going. And I got really sick. I got really sick where that was my eye opener. Mm-hmm. It would be great if we didn't have to get to that point before mm-hmm. we realized it's okay. We do need rest. We do mm-hmm. need to maybe only put 5 things on our to-do list. And that's a fantastic goal to have, right? So it's grace for me is really noticing that women just, no matter how much we say it and no matter how many self-care things are out there, women really try to take all of it on and they don't have to. And nor should they.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that 100%, you know, transparency, you know, where I remind myself all the time as well. And then having those people in your life, yeah. What about the, I don't want to say the race to success, but as this world of entrepreneurship has opened up and you've seen it, I mean, honestly, it's been like, you know, never mind. A lotus has 1,000 petals, right? And it's been like that. It's like been, okay, the lotus is open now. And there's all these different opportunities and all these different ways. And you see some people come in and start their business and they hit high levels of success very quickly. And then there's yeah. people that are, you know, that take multiple or decades of years to hit. What's that like? Have you seen anything? I'm sure someone, oh, I can hear it right now. I mean, there's the intuitive, ask the secret. So you see so many, is there something that you see consistently with women that are able to hit it out of the gate and hit their goals quicker than others? Or is it that someone who knows somebody, is it the, do you see any rhythm or?
I do. And I've seen both. And like, I'm definitely the slow burn kind of, you know, take my time. I think a lot of it has to do with whatever parameters each woman sets up for themselves. So we've got a lot of women in our group who, especially through the awards, will have been nominated and have said, I've been working at this for 10 years, you know, while my kids were napping and late at night. That's not going to have the same effect necessarily as someone who's working 9 to 5 on their business and have, you know, other things taken care of, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's a huge piece. The secret that I've seen to some of the most successful women that I've connected with is the support around them, whatever that support looks like. So, you know, women that have a supportive partner that understands, that sees their potential as not a hobby and not a time waster, because we have a lot of women who struggle with being taken seriously, and that can crush you right from the beginning. So support around them, whether it's friends, family, a supportive partner, those are all huge pieces. When you see a woman who is succeeding, there is a tribe around her. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And those are the women I've seen that have been the most successful. That's what I've had around me. It's been a slow process, but I've had an incredible team over the years that some women have come and gone. Everyone has made the path to my own business ventures more successful because of what they brought to it. So the support, my husband, my kids have grown up. My daughter's here right beside me. And she's going to hate that I just said that, but you know, they would come and they would be part of my trade shows and they would help, you know, load up the car. Those are all bits and pieces of support that stack up and just make for a more successful result in the end. I think going back to that guilt piece, if you feel like you've got that support around you, and you don't have to make excuses to people around you and you don't feel guilty, you're free. Like the world is just wide open to you. So That's the only secret I can think of.
No. It's important. I mean, it's a great observation, right? And I think that's why communities like what you have offered for these last 12 years mm-hmm. has been a lifeline for people. And there's been an evolution and pretty fast, you know, like, yeah. Pretty fast. I wouldn't have a year ago thought to have a weekly show for Gen Z, let like a year ago. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that. And things are kind of on speed dial. And I was sharing with a woman who I work with this morning. She's like, there's just such a multiple of opportunities out there. It's making your head spin. It's gone from very defined sectors and very defined to side gig is every gig, you know, side gig is every gig. And I'm having a community of people around you. We talk about that a lot in terms of, you know, make sure the five people around you and who you're hanging out with, but that can be difficult. It can be difficult if there's you on your own in your business, doing your thing, 90% of it's in your head and you're producing that. And then to even know, so tapping into a community like of yours, where there's all of these other people, all of these other women that are feeling probably more than likely like you've been or have you been and tapping in and making new friendships even.
It's actually amazing to see. Like, so I just have to say in our community, our youngest member is 17 and our oldest is 76 right now. And so, you know, you can kind of stand back and think, well, that's a very broad-based community. How does that help me? But there's so much wisdom between all of those years and being able to tap into other people who understand in some level, maybe the different ways that you've had to get to where you are and just being able to talk openly. I mean, that, you know, back in the mompreneur days, that was the big thing. I wanted to have a space where I didn't want to put on the boss suit and I was trying to say bitch boss, but you know, like the boss suit. And you know, that wasn't me. I was a young entrepreneur and I was a young mom and I wanted to talk to other moms that understood what that meant. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily want to just talk about business. And I think a lot of that has to do with how I was raised, really. Like I said to you, I was, they weren't two separate things, family life, work life. They were always intertwined. And so for me, you know, building a community means whatever someone needs and whoever someone needs to talk to about whatever it is, it should be available to them. There should never feel like there's any barriers to finding someone to connect with.
And I think that, go ahead.
No, I don't know where I was going, but that's.
Well, when you're talking, you know, and I'm, you know, and there's a lot of people that are, that listen to our show that are also entrepreneurs and love to hear stories of hope and gemstone and the evolution of business. There's also the transparency part. You know, there's the stuff that people don't tend to talk about too much. It's the tough stuff. It's the stuff where you're getting up and you're like, I might not feel like it today, or I'm super scared to go to this event, or okay, Richard Branson says, say yes and figure it out after, but he didn't send someone to help me figure it out. And so I said yes. And now I'm freaking out, like a new platform I had to use for an event last Saturday, which I think we talked about before. And I'm like, you know, sometimes you're kind of, so what do you do? Or what is it that you see people do? Because you've gone through the same thing, and people need someone to be transparent with, to talk about the in-between highs. I won't call them lows. Yeah. I'll call them the in-between highs. What do you do to keep going? What do you do to keep going, Maria?
Oh, those, I like that in-between highs. That
me too. I just made that. I think we should hashtag that. Okay. Let's hashtag that.
Okay. I love it. You know, for me, I feel like there's a cycle. I feel like, you know, there's a couple months that come, you're on that high, and then there's that little lull. Oh my gosh, why am I doing this? Oh my gosh, we didn't hit our quotas this month. Oh my gosh, what is happening? I shouldn't be an entrepreneur. I should find a full-time job. And then the next 2 months you're like on that high and it happens again. It's exhausting sometimes. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for 12 years. Thank goodness my husband has a full-time career, because you know, there's months where I've contributed nothing and that's terrifying. That's terrifying. But then there's months where I've contributed like a lot and it's made me really proud. So you have to be able to kind of sustain that. And for me to be able to sustain those really, lower highs, I guess, what did we say? In between highs?
In between highs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, I love it. For me in sustaining those, that's when I'm more active. That's when I'm out in nature more. That's when I'm seeing my friends more. Because when I'm in the high zone, I really don't have time for very much else. When you're buzzing with things to do and you're like, oh, I'm on a roll, you're not going out for dinner with friends. You're not, you know, staying up watching TV really late. You're just getting your shit done. Really. That's how I function anyways. So when I hit those times, I go and get a pedicure. I meet up with my girlfriends in Toronto and we go for dinner because I haven't seen them in months. I, you know, take my daughter shopping and I'm not always looking at my phone. That's a luxury for me. And so I kind of use those times to just reset. If there's anything I could call it, it would be a reset. I try to just get back to what makes me happy, what makes me feel joyful, what makes me feel calm. Those are the things I do. And then usually something sparks and I'm back up. And thankfully, I would say, you know, the only time it took a lot longer than I was used to was going through chemo and radiation. And it took a long time to get out of that funk, but I had a really good support system around me that kept checking on me. So, you know, that support, again, that community and knowing what sparks a fire in you, I think those pieces all come together to help you continue on the high.
Right. Awesome. So you've got the awards coming up. What you've done this rebrand, you've worked through the rebrand. You have women of all different, obviously, ages and careers and what have you coming in. I know that you've got something really strong around mentorship. What's your philosophy around? I mean, you've talked about having people around you. I'm a big, you know, get somebody, call them in, coaches, trainers, whatever you want to call them. So I kind of know what your philosophy is around mentorship, but what's the essence of mentorship for you? And why did you guys decide to bring it in? And people listening, what is, if they've never been mentored, which a lot of people have never been mentored, you know, it used to be much more of a European philosophy of understudy or being mentored. Maybe give me your thoughts on that.
So I will say, first off, I think everyone has been mentored in some way without maybe even realizing it. You are getting mentored and influenced by everything and everyone around you, whether you notice it or not. If anyone really digs deep and thinks back, there probably is one or two people that really inspired them to kind of reach for something, go for something, create a goal, right? So we may not think of it as mentorship, but to me, that's, you know, it's there. Now, we have a saying in Revolution Her, and, you know, we use it a lot in our hashtags, and that is that we're stronger together and that together we rise. And we've been using that, you know, slogan for a little while, right when we first launched Revolution Her. And in the first couple months, I was like, we are stronger together, but we can't meet in person. So much of what we used to do, we were meeting in person. It's like, it's time. Like, we need to find a way to get these women together to support one another. And not just women and men. We have some incredible mentors in our group that are fantastically successful men. You know, because we all have something to give. We all have something to give to one another. And I think, you know, some of the best times that I've felt warm and fuzzy was because I was able to give some kind of assistance, help, insight, or expertise to someone else. And they went away feeling better and excited. That's like one of the best things. It just causes a feeling that you really can't get anywhere else. And it's that idea of kindness, really. So mentorship, for anyone listening that maybe thinks they don't know what it is, or they're not sure if it's something for them, it's simply the way we work at it. It's simply getting online with one other person and asking questions and being open to answers. And if you can do that, if you can, you know, put aside ego and put aside that feeling of, you know, admitting that maybe you don't know everything, because none of us do. So if you can put that aside and ask someone that is maybe in the same industry as you, or someone that you respect, or someone that you look at and think, I want to be where she is in 2 years, or I want to, you know, that's where I want to head. The worst that can happen, if you ask that person to maybe give you some advice, the worst thing is that they could say no. And even that, if they say no to you, it could be the best thing for you, because maybe that just wasn't the person that was supposed to give it to you. So you know, mentorship really for us is about putting people in a community. It's digital, and it's about giving the opportunity for women to talk to others who have been there, done that, have expertise, and are willing to share to make someone else's life better.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I know we're kind of coming to an end and you've got a big event this weekend and I so appreciate your time, but I want to ask you, because when you see people now, recently you had Dolly Parton on as a guest and you were able to interview her. And when people say, and you have incredible women on the front cover of your magazine and you have all, you've built these connections over the last 12 years, clearly. Other people that are like, man, how do I make those connections? How do I reach out to that person? Can you give any insight as to other people that are like, oh man, I, you know, because, you know, people obviously look up to you, Maria. There's no two ways about it. They are attracted. You have multiple, you know, tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people that are in your community. Mm-hmm. So you've earned your wings most definitely. But people see that and they're like, how can I do that? Like, what did it take for you, other maybe courage or infrastructure, to be able to have those kind of people part of your business?
I can tell you one of the first things I ever did, one of the first big wins for us, was when I personally emailed Arlene Dickinson. I searched on the internet for her personal email. If she's listening, yes, I did. I was stalking her for a little bit, but I searched for her personal email. I did not go through an agency. I did not go through the TV, you know, station. I specifically looked for her. And I did not take no for an answer. And I've always kind of had this, I don't know, I'm not bothered by no. So even if someone tells me no, I'll ask, well, why not? And when is a better time for a yes? The worst that anyone has ever said, and I said this before, the worst thing someone can say is no. And there's times where some people have said no, and I'm like, that's the right no. This is not meant to be. But there's times where I've been given a no and I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is the right fit. This is going to happen. So is it going to happen now or is it going to happen a couple months from now? I'll touch base with you. And Arlene was one of those where, you know, she was like, this is fantastic. I'm, you know, way to go. Here's my assistant. And I just kept copying her into every email. Even though I was talking to her assistant, I kept copying her in. And for me, it was, you know, if you really believe that something needs to happen, no one's going to do it for you. I've reached out to people on Twitter. I've gone around the back door, you know, to find people and to make connections. Dolly Parton was one of them. I just don't stop. I just, if I want something, you can ask my husband. If I want something done, I won't even stop talking about it. It's actually quite annoying. Like until I get to where I intend to go, I just keep going. I think, you know, for anyone listening that is really struggling with how to get there, you have to believe in what you're doing. And it comes through. I get teary talking about what I do because I adore it. So, you know, when you believe in what you're doing and you are in it for the right reasons, truly nothing bad can happen when you're your authentic self. I believe that.
Me too. Sorry. Yeah. No, that's great. Okay. So now I've made the guest cry. Okay. So,
so that's
don't
not
go on to that woman's podcast. You're like, here, let me send you a really pretty box of, you know, tissues after. So no, but that's it, right? At the core of it is that's what's driving it. I loved that. I actually wrote it down. Why not? When is there a better time for a yes? Because when you're on mission, when you're on purpose, and you know you're in for the long haul, you know your intention, you know your desire, even if you don't know how to get there, you have a desire to get there. There's so much, I always say, there's so much money in that. Mm-hmm. I talk about that, you know, look, I'm in the business of follow-up as well for a lot of what I do. And I tell people, they're like, how did you get to number 1, 2, 4? I'm like, the money doesn't start till 5. They're like, what do you mean? I go, the money doesn't start till the 5th interaction, the 5th conversation, the 5th. They're like, 5th. And I'm like, I bet you bail out at 2 or 3. And honestly, it is tough sometimes, even for myself. And even for you, maybe not for you, you sound like pretty, you know, maybe I should get you started here. But you, because you have to grow up, I call it your business esteem. Mm-hmm. You know, I love myself. I think I'm great. You know, if my kids were joking around, oh yeah, you sucked as a mom, I'd be like, yeah, it wouldn't even touch me because I think I've been a pretty great mom.
Right.
But when it's you and you, you know, if you're the CEO of your own business, if you're the owner of your own company, sometimes your business esteem can get a little like, ooh, I love Brene Brown. It's like, ooh, aren't you too big for your bitches, you know?
Right, right.
And it takes a lot of courage. And sometimes those no's can sting and sometimes they just slough off. Or if you've had a lot of no's, the fourth ask gets tougher, right? So I love that. It's just like, when is a better time for a yes?
Yeah. And like I said, you know, the no's that have kind of like made you tilt your head a little bit. Like for me, there's been a couple where I'm like, I didn't do a good job either. I didn't do a good job explaining or this is really not the alignment I thought it was because most times it's been very obvious the alignment that is there. And, you know, I have a nonprofit company as well. And so we give back so much and, you know, for us, that's a huge piece of what we do. And so often if there's not an alignment there, it makes me thankful. Like I said before, it makes me, you know what, it was the right no, and I'm okay with that. And I can move on.
Yeah.
So it still makes it hard, but it's work that has to be done. And it's work that I apparently am good at. So I'll keep doing it.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that so much. So look, I know you have to go. I have one really important question I want to ask you, but before we do that, Maria, can you please share with people how to get in touch with you? And, you know, we're going to put it in the show notes as well, but where, if someone wants to get a yes from you, where are they contacting you?
I will always be open to yeses. So that's the first thing. And I do get some really fantastic requests from people. I'm always open to chatting. So you can email me directly anytime. I may be slow to reply, but I always reply maria@revolutionher.com. And our website is revolutionher.com. You can find us on all the social channels at revolutionhertm for trademark because someone else has revolutionher. And you can find our magazine. So revolutionher magazine is available in 118 stores across Canada, bookstores, including Indigo Cole's Chapters. We've got a podcast as well called the Amplify Podcast. Go check it out. Hopefully we can get you on there too, Deb. I think that'd be so fantastic to turn and get some, because you are just, I mean, I'm still astounded when we had that catch up. You are just on fire and you've done so much. So we'll definitely have to get you on there too.
Oh, well, let me, yes.
Yes. Okay.
I'll accept the mission. No, absolutely. It would be an honor, right? I think that's the whole part of it. Okay. So miss, you got lots to do this weekend. You are packing. And you are going to a desert island and it's you and you, it's you and you, and you have room for one album. This is the album that you couldn't imagine not listening to for the rest of your days while you sit there with your, you know, and what's it going to be?
Oh my.
What's the album you're going to take with you?
Deb, one.
I know.
Are you sure not five? One?
Uno. Also, is it, how do you speak it in Italian? Is it uno or?
Uno. Yeah. Uno.
Okay.
So uno. I am a huge music nerd. It's like a huge part of my life. I used to.
Oh, good. You're going to do some stuff around Dublin then. Have I got a promise for you?
So actually, and this is no joke, I know every word to every song on U2's Act Hung Baby. I think that has to be I can't. Okay. There's a hard second with Radiohead, the Bends, but I'm going to go with U2, Act Hung Baby. It's just, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's going to give me a reason to call U2 because we're walking, of course, from Dublin to Galway, and I'm thinking either Ed Sheeran or you know, U2 has to sing Galway Girl when we're there. So that would be a good reason for you to take the family over to Ireland because it's
absolutely. And if the Edge is anywhere, I'm like, I don't, I get like, I'm already flustered.
Okay, let's do a show on who's got a crush on Edge.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've shared that anywhere before, Deb. Wow. Okay.
Well, we have more than one thing in common then. No.
There you go. He's
all right. Yeah. Okay. So if you're out there, Edge, and you're hearing about how you need to be in Galway singing Galway yes. Girl, we'll see if Ed can come along, and then you guys can walk with us from Galway to the Cliffs of Moher.
How fun.
How fun, right? Okay.
Amazing.
So let's just set the intention.
Done. It's done. A yes.
It's a yes. Oh my gosh. I love when I'm laughing on my own show. Maria, what a pleasure. Honestly, what a pleasure. And it's just been such a grace to have you here. And part of Mission Accepted. You've done so much and you've done so well. And thanks for being transparent and sharing.
You've
in between delivered highs.
It. Thank you so much. And honestly, the platform that you provide, it's just, thank you for asking. It's been an honor to be here and I'm excited to see what's going to happen down the road. It's all good stuff.
I know we got some good stuff coming on. This will not be the last time that you see mine and Maria's name in a few things. I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure.
Agreed.
All right. Rock it out. And just a reminder, you guys, if you know a woman who needs to be recognized, please go on to Revolution Her. Look at the awards. If it's not this year, it's okay. They've been doing this every year for a long time. They're ready when you are.
Absolutely. Thanks,
Deb. All right. Have a good day. Bye for now. Too.